Friday night after work's drink can be a great way for office workers to unwind. But if they unwind too much, it can lead to all kinds of romantic and sexual shenanigans. The workplace is the setting of My Romantic History, a rom-com by DC Jackson, getting its Irish professional debut at the Viking Theatre in Clontarf in Dublin. Here is a clip of Amy, played by Rosanna Purcell, recalling her great love, Calvin, played by Alan Mahan.
Calvin Kennedy got expelled from our school for arguing with a priest and writing unionist graffiti in the boys' toilets. Once we were at different schools, there was an urgency to our affair.
Calvin insisted we use condoms.
One in the eye for the Pope.
Do you think this is a good idea?
I think so.
Me too.
Good. Then it is.
And you're not going to be, you know, weird after?
No. Well, no weirder.
And he wasn't. He held me tight like I was being washed away, and for a moment, I felt like I'd grown up.
Amy.
What?
You know I love you.
I love you.
But I mean really. Really. I really, really love you.
I know, me too.
We can never break up.
Never.
Never.
Being young is so easy.
My Romantic History is directed by Janet Moran, and when we spoke earlier, I asked her to introduce the two central characters, Tom and Amy.
Well, it's a very funny play. It was done in the Edinburgh Fringe 10 years ago, when the Fringe first actually, and I actually saw the first production, funny enough. I was performing in the Fringe at the time, and it really left a mark on me. So it starts, you're following two main characters, Tom and Amy, who are two, maybe some would say unlikable characters at the start, who are trying to kind of move past all their disastrous relationships and try and form a relationship together potentially.
And it is that kind of mess I was describing earlier on. Like, it's Tom's first week at work, and then he goes for drinks, and what does he do but get off with Amy, who's his another colleague. Person in the office.
And Tom is played by a brilliant young actor called Alan Mahan, and he has a great line after he's left with her, you know, after the first night drinks at the end of the first week, where he goes, and the worst thing about this is I can't avoid her. She knows my work line. She can drop a note on my desk. She knows what time I'm in work. I can't avoid her. Like, so he's kind of, I think he kind of over dramatizes the situation he's in.
That's right, because he sees himself as constantly under siege from her.
Yeah, he does, in this kind of amazing way where he thinks that all the women are in love with him. I'm not quite sure where, but the funny thing, a really brilliant device in the play is that both Amy and Tom speak to the audience as well, so we get to hear their inner thoughts. So we, and also as the relationship develops, we get to see their different versions. So sometimes we see the same scene played twice, and we get to see it through his eyes and then later through her eyes, and how they're just not quite connecting.
Yes, because it is a little disconcerting from the audience, because you see it from the Tom's point of view for the first half of the play, and Tom does not come across as a very nice guy, because we're hearing his inner thoughts, and he does not filter his feelings, and he's very, as you say, he thinks he's loved by everybody, and he's also very critical of Amy.
Yes, and I suppose...
The woman he's sleeping with.
The woman he's sleeping with and pretending that he doesn't want to, and then he just seems to keep sleeping with her accidentally. I know, I suppose if we're hearing anyone's inner thoughts and their filter isn't on, they won't quite be as pleasant as maybe we all like to pretend we are day-to-day when we actually are communicating with each other. But certainly he does have quite a few eyebrow-raising moments that are very funny, but also quite, I think, you know, sometimes a bit shocking, but... The kind of shock where you're laughing and just wondering, will you get into trouble for laughing?
So even though I said it's about a workplace romance, that isn't really what the play is about.
No, I would say it's really about trying to grow up I suppose it's about a number of things. The both of them are at an age where they're considering about whether or not they should settle or whether they should hold out for a great love, but they're also both hankering after great loves they've had in the past that didn't work out. So in some ways it's about kind of growing up, maturing, dealing with what's in front of you and And not holding on to the past.
And how does the play bring to life these past relationships they have had? Let's say Tom's relationship with Alison.
Yeah. So we, Rosanna Purcell is playing Amy, and we have Kelly Marie Nichalik, who was so brilliant recently in Copperface Jacks, along with Rosanna. She's playing Sasha, their colleague in work, but she also plays most of the ex-girlfriends as well.
What do you mean? What is it? You're starting to freak me out here.
She was cheating on you.
What? Wait for it. This is priceless.
We missed our wood.
This is a joke.
No joke.
The music teacher.
Look, I'm really sorry. I didn't think it was my place, but...
Mr. Wood!
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
But he's a dick.
Yeah, it's like it says in the girls' toilets. Mr. Wood Wood. Honestly, mate, you take Michelle. Don't actually mind going with Big Rona.
I never liked Mr. Wood. He chewed gum and he thought he was a bit cool. And even though I was only 16, I could see he was a sleazy loser. He was 30 odd, for God's sake. Big man with his 6-year girls. Dick. I'm not sure we called them pedos back then, but I'd call him a pedo now. Pedo.
Alan also plays this wonderful ex-boyfriend of Amy's, Calvin, very passionate northern man who just is very inspiring. We're all in love with him. I think Kelly Marie is probably doing the heavy lifting in terms of playing all the and a lot of the ex-boyfriends as well, which she does hilariously, I have to say.
Yes, Calvin, the northern man, is trying to fight the good unionist fight.
He's the product of a mixed marriage, which provides him with like lots of ideas about revolutionary activities.
Now, when you talk about they speaking their inner thoughts out to the audience, that's very modern, very Fleabag in its way, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's certainly, having seen Fleabag, it makes you think about that, obviously. And also, like, people have talked about Alfie, the Michael Caine film. But actually, it's a theatrical device that's not, you know, it's, I think Fleabag, it was really quite revolutionary to see it on television. But it is a device that you see quite a bit in television. But it's one that's always very exciting to me as an audience member as well, because, you know, you're always looking to make connections with audiences, and if you get a chance to use direct address and confide in the audience, I think that's always very exciting and very immediate kind of, you know, experience for the audience.
Now it's adapted from a Scottish play, as you said, you saw it first in Edinburgh. Is it adapted? Did you have to do any tweaking, any changes?
I wouldn't say it's adapted. It's very much the play he wrote, but it's been done all over the world, in America, China, Japan, the list goes on. And I suppose it's so specifically Scottish in its use of language, like even the idiom, that I imagine everywhere people have to just slightly tweak those things. So because we wanted it, because it's a contemporary story and we didn't want anything to get in the way of people being able to connect with the relationships, we've set it very firmly in Ireland, and that required some changes. Like, and some of them are just things like we've changed George Square to George Street. Some of the swearing is more creatively Irish than Scottish. But yeah, I think just little tweaks like that.
And the second half of the play then is twists the story. How much can you tell us what happens in the second half?
The first half we hear Tom's point of view. The second half we hear Amy's point of view. And in the third act, we start to get both of their voices. I mean, and it all starts to come together.
So that's why we revisit what Tom's story was through Amy's eyes and see quite a different story.
Exactly, and I think that's where a lot of the comedy comes from as well, though, those kind of miscommunications.
So, Jenna, we know you as an actress, and more recently now you have got into directing and, more importantly, into writing your show. You were on Arena talking about Holy Show, which was your show about the 1981 hijacking of a plane by the ex-Trappist monk.
Well remembered.
And then before that there was Swing, which was a romantic comedy again about people who meet in a dance class.
Yeah.
So when did you start to write?
Well, I think I always had ideas, but I never really had the courage to do it. I think it took getting older and getting a bit more confident, but also I had a huge amount of support. So I'd had the idea for swing for quite a few years, just because I had gone to a dance class, and I remember thinking it would be a great location to have strangers meet each other. But it was really the support of like Gavin Costick and Fish Shamble and the Show in a Bag initiative, which is now Duets in the Dublin Fringe. I think because I applied for that and because there's so much support, that really... that made a huge difference. And then with the Holy Show, Niamh O'Donnell at the Mermaid Arts Centre, she kind of pushed me along with that. And again, I just got a huge amount of support and got a residency at the Irish Cultural Centre in Paris. And so we did a Holy Show in the Peacock as part of the Fringe. And then Donal Shields, who's producing My Romantic History, he's taken on a Holy Show now as it's touring.
And was it a big step from going from something like Swing, where it was part your own personal experience, to something so different like that historic event of social history in Ireland?
Well, the biggest leap, I think, was I co-wrote Swing along with the other performer and the director, Peter Daly and Gavin Costick. So the big leap with the Holy Show was writing on my own. That was the thing that took the kind of extra little bit of courage that time. But again, it was an idea I'd had for maybe 10 years, I think. I had seen some footage on Reeling in the Ears and it had been kind of percolating away there. So it's set during the 1981 hijacking, as you said, which was a real-life hijacking. And we have real-life footage in the show featuring Albert Reynolds, among others. But it was kind of an extraordinary event in Irish history, if anyone's not heard of it. The only hijacking I think we've ever had of an Irish airline, and it was by an Australian monk who didn't really have a weapon. I think some say it was a bottle of holy water he had, but thankfully no one was hurt. And so it's a Holy Show is a multi-character comedy set on the plane, and as I said, we did it at the Dublin Fringe, and we've just had a really great run at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and we're about to go out on tour again next January all over Ireland. We're playing quite a few venues in Dublin and Galway, Belfast, Cork, and then we're going back to Paris, where it was originally born.
Are you continuing your writing? Have you projects on the go?
I do, yeah. I have. I'm working on a piece for the Sunday Missoni Christmas concert, which is a lovely thing. I love the programme. And I have, I'm working on a longer, bigger piece with a bigger cast, which I won't talk about too much yet. But I'm also working on a piece with my partner called Looking for America, which we're hoping to present at the This Is Pop Babies Festival, where we live next March, depending on funding. But Looking for America is about a kind of epic journey my partner took across Havana overnight looking for an old guerrilla fighter he knew called America. And it's looking at, I suppose, being in exile and maybe looking at some of the reasons why people are still kind of leaving Central America.
And to go back to My Romantic History, will that have a life beyond the Viking?
I hope so. I think if I don't mess it up, the plan is that it will. And certainly it has every chance, because it is genuinely, like you've read it, it's laugh out loud funny. It's very bold. And we've got a super cast and team. So yeah, fingers crossed.
Just don't go on a work night to it. Might give you
no,
bad ideas.
Exactly.
My Romantic History runs in the Viking in Clontarf in Dublin from October the 28th to November the 16th. More information from VikingTheatreDublin.com.